name is Earl Hunter. I'm up with the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control. If I talk too fast or too slow, slow me down or speed me up, because people tell me sometimes we in the South talk too slow. People tell me all the time I talk too fast, so I'm not so sure. I will tell you a little bit of a little side information about me. I usually do a survey at every group that I speak to and ask how many people have the AARP card. Okay. And keep your hands up if this applies to you. And AARP card and a toddler at home.
Whoa.
And an 11-month-old at home. Oh, okay. So I'm one of the few people that has that kind of distinction. I'm about to tell you a real quick story about my AARP card experience. As everyone that has their AARP card knows, at about 49 and a half, you start getting mail after mail after mail from AARP trying to encourage and entice you to spend the $21 and become a member. Of course, being the pillar of vanity that I am, I refuse to get the card. My wife, who's much younger than me, says, you know, honey, look at all these specials we can get. So she sent it in for me, and 6 months later, I had the card and started using it. And I got my packet of information that showed me all the things that you could shop for, travel, different types of things. So I said, well, we have to, might as well just use this thing. This is about a year ago. So I go to the CVS pharmacy, you know, after the birth of our son, and I'm looking at all these specials and things I can shop for, and I get my buggy full of stuff, come up to the counter, put all the stuff up on the counter, and hand the woman my AARP card, my little CVS card. And the woman looks at me and starts laughing. She said, sir, those aren't the kind of diapers you can get a discount on. So anyway, life of an older dad. But I think it kind of plays into this, because we're talking about, one of the things we're going to talk about today is the workforce and some of the issues that are going on in our public health workforce across the country. A little background on our agency, we're about 5,000 people. We cover 4 deputy areas: health services, which is our public health arm; health regulation, which deals with the monitoring and oversight of hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, those kinds of things; and our environmental protection division, which is the EPA counterpart in our state. And then an area called Ocean and Coastal Resource Management, which is a kind of a NOAA arm. We have all those 4 entities under one umbrella called the Department of Health and Environmental Control. So we're a pretty diverse group. We're about $500 million agency. So a real mixture of combination of federal, state, and earned dollars that we do as a state. What I'd like to do today is really just talk a little bit about workforce continuity and development, and let's talk a little bit about why it's so important. I'll describe a few of the trends that are going on right now in public health and some of the real, what I think are some monumental challenges that we face, and then highlight some of the workforce development strategies that are out there, some of the ones that we're doing, describe our public health arm, some of the things that we're doing in trying to develop our workforce continuity and development plan, and describe that and then kind of summarize. So let's talk a little bit about why do we want to get into, why workforce continuity and development, why should someone get involved in that? Well, if you look at some of the information that we have over the last several years, you'll find that a number of surveys have been done and talk about the loss of workforce. In fact, a lot of the public health executives, or excuse me, personnel executives, call this the proverbial bubble, and we're all on that. It's almost like with the baby boomer generation, we're all coming through. Some of the numbers I've seen are that the average age of public health workforce is about 46 and a half years of age, and that includes with all the young folks and all the expansion that's gone on. The one thing we do know, too, is that public health has been hit really unnecessarily hard over probably the last 20 or 30 years, as far as just the infrastructure has been eroded away. There have been a number of studies that have been done that talk about some of the challenges that we're facing. I will tell you that most folks that are talking about a 30% loss of state employee workforce are saying that the public health and health workforce are going to be much greater than that. And in fact, in some of the surveys that I'll mention in a few minutes, we see that it looks like some of the folks have folks that are getting ready to retire. Again, rapidly aging workforce, high percentage of public health workforce are eligible for retirement. When ASSA did a survey back in 2003, November and December 2003, of the 57 states and U.S. territories, I think there were about 65% of the groups responded. And we saw ranges anywhere from 5% to 45%. But an average of 24% of the workforce in those states were eligible for retirement. Some states as high as 45% were eligible for retirement at this point in time. We're also seeing many shortages in professional areas, primarily in nursing, epidemiology, also seeing it in nutritionists and so on and so forth, our environmental health personnel. In our own state, I can tell you that our public health turnover rate, our nursing turnover rate is around 20%. It's around 16-17% for nutritionists, which is far exceeds our state's normal turnover, about 10%. So public health has really taken a real blow there. So we have less people doing a lot more work that's being required. And I think there's a real correlation between the lack of understanding of public health and the workforce shortage. One of the things that I find in dealing with our legislature is just a lack of understanding what public health really is. And we have to spend a tremendous amount of time doing a lot of education of those folks. But again, lack of understanding, visibility, defined values, and sense of urgency equals funding deficiencies. Because certainly if the legislature doesn't see it as a funding priority, they're going to give it to education or the health system through Medicare, Medicaid, those types of things. We find all the time that we're constantly facing an uphill battle as far as competitive salaries are concerned and what the private sector can offer that we don't. We don't do a very good job of recruitment. We use some of the old standard tried and true methods of recruitment that just don't work these days. And just it's just in the high turnovers I mentioned a while ago. Just crazy. So let's talk a little bit about some of the workforce development strategies that a state or local entity could implement to try to work on some of these issues. Obviously, first and foremost, you can talk about pay and benefits. But I will tell you, a lot of the surveys that have been done, pay is not the overriding factor. That's not the number one factor. Most folks are looking for a lot more flexible work schedules and stuff. And one of the things that we're doing in South Carolina, and one of the things that we were successful in doing, is approaching our General Assembly and approaching our state personnel office about trying some pilot things. And I'll talk a little bit about those in a moment. But obviously, people are looking for some advanced professional training, some leadership training opportunities. We're doing a lot of work marketing with college campuses, especially some of the historically black colleges and universities. And we're also working a lot with the School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina and working with Clemson University and their public health department there as well, and trying to encourage folks to get into the public health sector, even though they may receive training in nutrition or nursing or what have you. A lot of them are looking at public health as a career, so we're trying to do a lot to encourage them to do that and give them a lot more information, give them opportunities to come in and intern and so on and so forth. So that, I think, is paying dividends. One of the things we're really excited about in South Carolina is we just launched an e-recruitment system for all of state government. And through our state personnel office, anyone that's interested in applying for a job can go through that system. To give you an example of how well that system works, the last numbers I saw is there were 4,800 job applicants within our agency that were submitted electronically, and only 87 by paper. So it's tremendous what that does for people. And it's really paying dividends for us, and we can make sure we match up people in their skills with jobs that they may not have applied for that certainly have an opportunity to do. A little bit about DX, public health arm, and what's going on there. We do, again, have an aging workforce issue there. We did some studies and surveys around our agency and saw that, in particular in some of our areas, especially nursing and some of our chronic disease areas, as well as our environmental health area, we saw a more advanced age workforce there. There's a program we have in South Carolina, too, called the Teacher Employee Retention Incentive Program, or TERI for short, that was launched really to try to retain school teachers. But once the legislature started going down that path, they learned pretty quickly through some of the federal restrictions that they couldn't offer it just to one sector of state government. They had to offer it to all sectors. So they expanded it to look at all sectors of society. And that's really kind of helped us in a way. But also, there's a downside to it. If you sign up for the Teacher Employee Retention Incentive Program, what that means is you can retire. If you have 28 years of service, you can go ahead and retire and keep your job, keep your pay, and your retirement goes into a trust account, and you can do that for up to 5 years. It enables you to build a little nest egg, so it's certainly beneficial to employees, and certainly is certainly an encouragement and kind of offset some of the salary disparities if they're looking at going outside. The downside to it is 5 years, you're up. That's it. So the employee can choose to do it and pick a period between 1 and 5 years, but once their TERI period's up, they're out the door. So you really have to plan for that and really have to work around that. Now, we've been fortunate. About 2 years ago, we were able to lobby the General Assembly to give us the ability to hire some of those folks back on a part-time or an hourly basis, or even bring them back full-time if we can prove this a critical position. So that's helped a lot. But again, our retirement eligibility moved from 30 years to 28 years about 5 years ago, and it's really kind of put another little push on us there. And then, of course, the private sector is always a challenge for us in trying to keep up with the information there. Just to give you an example of how important this is to our agency, we just launched our new 5-year strategic plan, and of 5 major goals for our organization, improving organizational capacity and quality is one of those 5. And in particular, the development and implementation of a workforce plan for each of our respective deputy areas. And we're asking each of those areas to set up teams that go through and develop workforce plans. Our health services area is the first area to do that, public health area, because we really saw that as probably the major area where we were seeing problems. The only other area we were seeing major problems in was our environmental protection area with engineering staff. So a tremendous number of our engineering staff, their turnover rate was approaching that of nursing staff. So we did that. But let me talk a little bit about our plan. Give you an example or a little bit of information and background about our public health sector of our agency. It makes up about 2/3 of our agency. We're a state unified system. All 46 county health departments are part of the state system. We don't have local or community health departments. So we're all part of the same, all our state employees that work at those. We operate about 90 clinic sites throughout the state, provide a myriad of services, the typical public health services. And operate all of our environmental health activities out of those as well. Of the folks that elected to do the Teacher Employee Retention Incentive Program, we had 318, or pretty close to that 2/3 number, came out of the public health sector. And we lost a lot of those folks just a few years ago. The first wave of Terry, the big wave, was last year. We had about 360 employees that left our agency at one time. Again, the impact of Terry, we had 9 of our senior leadership people in public health area that were elected to go on to the Terry program. Half of our TB program were members of that. 51 of our environmental health managers statewide were part of that. And we call our environmental health managers, that's just a term of art that we call most of our folks that have a college degree and experience are hired in as environmental health managers, and sometimes don't manage people, but out of about 300 employees, 51 of them elected to do this. And then 75 of our nurses statewide. And we had 12 in one of our areas. One thing we did was we formed a human resources committee in our agency. We established that in April of 2004. This was shortly after ASTHO's survey that was done in November, December of 2003 and the subsequent 2004 report. We saw it as kind of a wake-up call for all of us. We made sure there was representation from both our central office and each of our 8 public health regions and some of our county offices. And we made sure there was real diversity on that planning committee, on that resources committee. So we made sure that all of the respective areas were represented. And then we made sure we gave them a charge and some deadlines to work on a plan for the agency and allow them to serve as that problem-solving team. We've developed our plan now, and it's put forth. And it was our first priority was to get that up and going. And it's our systematic approach to being very proactive as far as ensuring that we have continuity of management and leadership. I think that's very, very important in public health, is make sure you develop those managers as people that are ready to step in, as people are ready to step out. Because I can tell you on the street, it's hard to find people that have the type of background and experience to really serve well, unless you can come rob people from ASTHO and stuff like that. But you know, that's kind of difficult things to do sometimes. But we certainly try to encourage folks within our ranks to get as much training and much experience to better themselves, to put themselves in a position to move up into leadership positions. And we do some things I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes to develop that. But anyway, so we put this group together. We developed this plan. It established a number of policies that we could do. We had to go downtown to our human resource area to try to make sure we could do some of the things we wanted to do. I'm going to talk a little bit about just 3 of the 8 key areas that we tried to do there through our state area. We started, really kicked off a lot of the training and back in 2006, and some of the completion was just finished earlier this year. The local plans have been developed, and most of those were completed in 2007. We're still, the full implementation is ongoing now, and we're trying to monitor and evaluate where we are. But just in summary, We know that we're going to be losing a lot of our workforce. If our current demographic trends continue unchecked, it's going to have a tremendous impact on our agency and probably everyone that's represented here. And we think you should all consider doing workforce development. To talk a little bit, I probably should back up a little bit. Let me talk a little bit about formal academic education. One of the things we've done is we've looked at ways that we can help people offset some of the cost of furthering their education. Some of the things we've been able to do there is do some tuition assistance. Our folks that agree to come on to work for us, we've been able to offer to do tuition reimbursement, if you will. So we've been able to pay people if they have unpaid student loans and things like that. We've been able to have those forgiven by paying for some of those for them, paying a portion in agreement. They agree to stay with our agency for a set number of years. We developed some leadership training and development through the Arnold School of Public Health at the University of South Carolina. We've developed for folks that don't have a formal public health training, a master's in public health or what have you, but want to get some additional experience in that area, we've developed a certificate program with the Arnold School of Public Health that people can apply for, and we pay for that for them to get that training. There's also a leadership component of that that people are able to do. And then we also try to offer a lot of just the basic core public health training to our staff to give them the ability and the technologies, if you will, to be able to advance or move into other areas that they may not have shown an interest in before. So try to give them some kind of cross-training, if you will, to give them an opportunity to move into those areas. It's been very successful. I will tell you, to date, we've had about 40 people that have taken advantage of some of these things we've offered already. And again, we're just now ramping up the full implementation of our workforce continuity and development plan. And we fully expect to have a lot more folks take advantage of it. To date, it's cost us about $160,000 in paying for tuition reimbursement. One thing I failed to mention that we had to do in our state and probably in your respective areas you may have to do is that we had to go downtown and try to get the ability to offer bonuses. One of the things a lot of state governments do not allow is for people to pay bonuses, sign-on bonuses. And when you're competing with hospitals in the private sector, that's one of the key components we were able to get done. In fact, we were able to get that raised from $2,000 up to $5,000 for public health workforce for sign-on bonuses. And that has paid tremendous dividends for us. It's not as good as the private sector. Some of our local hospitals, for instance, are offering $10,000 sign-on bonuses and some amended work schedules. And one thing we've tried to do is look at that as well. I would certainly encourage all of you to look at your ability to allow people to telecommute. And we allow what we call a mixed bag telecommute. Folks can telecommute 2-3 days a week, come into office for a couple of days a week. We actually have some workforce that actually telecommute nearly 100% of the time, and we do office sharing so that we rotate people coming in on certain days of the week so that we utilize that same office space. Saves us money in a myriad of ways, but it's also for the folks, especially a lot of our workforce are female. A lot of them are developing families, just like I am doing at a very late age, and they're able to really have a little flexibility to spend time with their kids, do part-time daycare and things like that. One of the other things that we're trying to do as an agency, and I'll close with this, is we're looking at actually trying to build a new building for our central office public health workforce. And a couple of things that we're looking at there is trying to offer, have a green building, trying to make sure that it has a cafeteria with healthy eating choices, but also to provide daycare to our employees. One of the things that the private sector seems to have really been out in the head of the curve on, and we're certainly far behind on. So all we do is just try to encourage you to look at workforce continuity and development. I think it's important for you to go back and work with your specific areas. If you haven't started down this path, you need to, because I can tell you, the bubble is coming, it's about to burst, and we're all going to face some tremendous challenges in public health and making sure that we have the right people doing the right things at the right time in the right places. But I can also tell you that it's not just about your organization. It's about society as a whole. I can tell you that public health is really the backbone of protection in this country. And I think far too many people have lost sight of that. And I think that if we don't take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and make sure that we have proper staffing in the proper places, it's going to cost society in many, many different ways. And I know we're going to have some time to have some questions and all afterwards. Next, I think we're going to have Jim. And again, we've got some folks on our website, if you'd like to go, that are resources for a lot of this.